right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again for another thrilling Dom and Colin podcast. I'm Colin. Dom, how are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Doing well. Had a week off last week, for the first time in quite a while, but hopefully people were able to make it through that in one piece, and we are back for an episode I'm really excited to dive into here. We are going to be talking first boots today, as we do a hypothetical first boot second chance draft. So the way this is roughly going to go, at least in my mind, and you, Dom, tell me if you have any adjustments you would like to make here, but what I am thinking, and probably something we could have gone over before the podcast started and really hammered down the details on, but my idea is we are going to draft back and forth five men and five women each who have been first boots throughout the history of Survivor. And I think it will be pretty straightforward, although the one caveat I would add is I think we should take off the table people who were first boots as returnees. So off my board, I have left Tina, Johnny Fairplay, Sugar, Vetus, Sierra, and Natalie Anderson. And I now recognize that puts us in kind of a Schrodinger situation, maybe. Maybe I don't understand how Schrodinger's cat works, but Francesca was both a first boot as a newbie and a first boot as a returnee, but I feel like she would be someone worth leaving in.
Yeah, and I assume that this isn't with a pure focus on who do we think has the best odds to win, but if we are constructing a season where you hear this idea mooted all the time of, well, why don't we just have a first boot season? And it feels like no one ever shows their work on why that would be a good idea in practice and not just a fun idea in theory. Who would contribute to making that a fun season to watch as opposed to a failed vanity project?
Correct. Yes, we are not drafting for who would win a hypothetical season if played among 21st boots. We are drafting who we would like to see there. And I am with you. Before we dive in, I guess, on the specifics, I do think that's an interesting point about people throwing around this idea, just kind of, I don't think anyone is lobbying super hard for it, at least that I'm aware of, other than maybe some of these first boots themselves. But it's certainly something I've seen tossed out from time to time. And for your convenience, Dom, and frankly for mine as well, since I am certainly prone to forgetting some things on air, I have written down a chronological list of all of the people who were the first ones voted out, or in a couple of cases, medevaced from their season of Survivor. And let me ask you, as someone else who can see this list, when you look at it before getting our results of who we are actually going to be picking for our 20 person hypothetical season, but just looking at these, however many names it is, do you think that a hypothetical first boot season would indeed be something that would excite you as a Survivor fan?
The only impression that I get looking at this list is that it is a list of the first boots, which, as I already ranted to you off air, and you will now have to hear this again, is shockingly difficult to find. You can find unordered lists, ordered lists, rankings, whatever, of God knows whatever concept under the sun when it comes to Survivor, but actually finding, okay, here is a preferably chronological list of who was voted out first isn't there. The internet, for all of its majesty, has not coughed up that one just yet. So thankful to you for providing this wonderful public service. And as I look at this, I kind of think the ingredients were there, although I realize, as I said, that I'm looking at the first line, which is the people off the board because they are returning players. So putting them aside, I feel like the only reason to be optimistic about this first boot season for the most part is because you have some level of familiarity with who these people are. And just that is kind of anchoring your perceptions of them. Whereas I don't know if any one of these people is either better TV or a better addition to a season, to a cast, than just the random man or woman off the street.
OK, so I think I'm going to disagree pretty strongly here. I do like the element of the at least superfan audience having some degree of familiarity with each of these people, although I do think plenty of that, if not the overwhelming majority of that, would be lost on the casual audience. At the same time, though, I think just in the abstract, I am a big fan of the idea of people who have at least some degree of familiarity themselves with being on Survivor, and furthermore, if history is any indication, at least, I think two things that work very well in any sort of returnee season are people out there who kind of have an axe to grind and something to prove to themselves. And I would imagine pretty much all of these people, if they were to agree to go back on Survivor, would feel roughly in that sort of camp. And furthermore, I am a big fan of the idea of a very balanced cast in terms of like historical reputation. And in this kind of hypothetical, all of them would be on completely equal footing. I think that has worked very well on Winners at War and Survivor Second Chance Season 31, Cambodia, is the subtitle I was struggling to come up with there. I think both of those are generally crucial ingredients in the recipe for a good returnee season of Survivor. And while I am not going to go so far as to say every single one of these people is someone I'm actively interested even in necessarily coming back, I do think if they were to do 18 or 20 people, maybe over the course of this draft, I will be proven wrong and you can talk me out of some of these names, but I feel like it'd be tough to come up with a group that size out of all of these people that we're going to talk through today that I wouldn't be interested in seeing play again. I don't know how realistic it is that many of these first boots would even be interested in coming back, but I think I would be here for a first boot season drawing from this pool of players.
It sounds like you are really just thirsting for more Survivor, and the good news is that the drought is almost over, I think, and you know, we've had the first episode of Survivor South Africa, the new season, this week, so it looks like you know, your struggle may be over soon, but
I was wondering, Jeff has been posting those videos every so often on Twitter, those like 1 minute long videos while he's out there in Fiji. And I have been feeling like super nostalgic about it. Just hearing his voice again has done a lot in a lot more than I thought it would, at least, in making me excited for Survivor. But now I worry that those are basically just Jeff thirst traps.
When hearing Jeff's voice sends you into a fit of incoherent rage, that's when you know that Survivor is well and truly back, that you know, normalcy has been restored. But the thing is that with the first boots is you are selecting quite heavily for people who have just something missing in terms of, I mean, they might well be annoying for production to work with, first of all, or I don't know if they are just, they did something to make a bad impression, and whether that's someone has to be voted out first, and so we're just going to find any convenient excuse to gang up on this person, or it's they were just never given a fair chance by their castmates, and that sucks, but then is there a reason to think they would be given a fair chance by this cast either? I don't know if there's going to be that kind of first boot solidarity at work that you might need to make that possible, unless it was something different, like first boots against, I mean, first boots against winners might be kind of interesting, but
I would not be.
Well, then why would this be interesting? What the winners at least all have the virtue of being winners. They have and maybe they're not all winners of life. Maybe they all have deep, deep personal flaws that come out as soon as they, appear in the headlines. But the winners at least have some kind of magnetic quality that has guided them through the game for the most part. The first boots do not. They have the exact opposite of that. So why are we sitting in here pretending that this would be a recipe for a good season?
I certainly see your point there. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that first boots versus winners would be not a good season. I'm striking that from the record, but I would personally rather see all first boots going at it than a season of first boots versus winners. And on your second point, while I was compiling this list of all these names, there certainly are some exceptions along the way here, but a large, large number of them appeared to be the first boot largely because they were just really annoying around camp for one reason or another. And I want to say before we really get into this today, as someone who often feels compelled to point out just how different people can sometimes be on the TV show versus how they would be in real life, or how they would be just kind of in the grand scheme of their hypothetical kind of survivor timelines that could have happened if they'd gotten, if a couple of things had broken differently, or if they'd gotten a different cast around them, or they got a chance to return. I think in the cases of first boots, that may be more extreme than pretty much anything else, because when you are the first boot, you are going to be in one episode, you are going to be a focal point generally of that episode, and your entire story is essentially going to revolve around why you were a justifiable person to be eliminating first from Survivor. And I think there are definitely cases throughout the course of Survivor history where the editors may have had to go potentially out of their way to people to make some of these folks look even more annoying, or at least somewhat annoying in the first place, when that may not have necessarily been the case, because they don't really have a choice when it comes to first boots. They have to just tell a quick story about why this person was snap booted.
Yeah, but I think that runs directly counter to the other main argument that you hear for why this would be such a great idea, which is surely a first boot season would be this wonderful hot mess where, you know, we get to see who is the best of the worst. And, you know, you have all the people who, if we're being honest with ourselves, could never win a Survivor season. And now one of them has to win a Survivor season. So what's going to happen? And if that's the idea, then taking this argument that, if anything, many of these people's flaws will have been deliberately over-egged and exaggerated just to make them look as bad as possible, the way that season fails then is it's not that these people actually are terrible at Survivor, because at least then that could be it could be entertaining to watch them fail and to watch one person fail upwards into $1 million. The fail case there is that they're actually just not that interesting. Is that maybe, yeah, they're kind of normal people, and oh yeah, Survivor didn't go off them, oh that sucks, and they go back to their lives, but that actually there isn't a compelling reason why you would want them on Survivor in the first place. And it actually is a fairly random cross-section of people.
I guess we are going to have to agree to disagree on this front, because I am pretty steadfast in the idea that when the sample size is this big, there are definitely going to be some fluke first boots along the way who were not even remotely done justice by the TV edit. Although I do take your larger point.
But so when you say, for example, that Winners at War worked because everyone had a kind of similar reputation coming in, I feel like that's less true of Winners at War than of, you know, basically any other season, barring, I guess, Heroes vs. Villains would be one, or some of the other all returnee seasons. And I think there is a vast gulf, I mean, not only between Rob and Amber within one specific marriage, but just, you know, so many of, let's say, the 30s winners, you know, the Nick Wilsons and even Adam Kleins of the world, and then some of the old school winners who you never thought you would get to see back. And someone like Yul, for example, has a certain mystique to him, that the person who just won 2 years ago and you kind of know how they're going to play because how have they had a chance to grow since then, that person just doesn't have that. And likewise for the first boots, maybe there's maybe there are some people in here, some diamonds in the rough, who could really excel if given that second chance. And then there are others who you could put them on Survivor 100 times, and many of those times they would be the first boot. And if anything, the charm of the season might be having a good mix of those people, right? You don't want it to be all chickens, let's say. Although, hey, I'll take it at this point. You know, just give me whatever. but you also don't want it to be all... I mean, I don't even know who the example is who was robbed of a second chance, but you get what I'm saying.
I will give you the example, at least, that is standing out to me when their time comes in the draft.
Okay, well let's kick off that draft.
Well,
then,
hey, let me just quickly say, though, before we do, and I definitely intend to dive into it momentarily because we are not making the best time here already today, I did not mean to suggest that everyone on Winners at War or everyone on Survivor Second Chance was necessarily coming in with the same reputation. I agree that that is not even close to the case. I just meant, as far as what they have achieved in the game on Winners at War, no one's going to stand out for having won, other than maybe Sandra for having won twice. Whereas, when you compare that to something like a Survivor Game Changers is the obvious example of like an extreme imbalance in Survivor reputation or like the original Survivor All-Stars or any sort of fans versus favorites dynamic, I think that is a much different story. But regardless, I think both of us have been clear on our stances there. And let us indeed, Dom, dive in now to this draft. So do you want to go first or second? Do you have a strong take?
Well, I'm going first because okay. There is one person who, if you don't take them off the board at the first available opportunity, I don't know what you're even doing here. And that is, of course, the great Francesca Hoagie, who is the most glaring exception possible to that idea that everyone comes in with an equal reputation, because, you know, there is no one who is carrying that burden of that reputation more than she is and will be more keen to cast it off and to make it at least one out of three, you know, and finally get that W on the board.
Okay. I think a very justifiable first overall pick, and I think she could be potentially someone who has just run extremely bad in her actual chances at playing Survivor, and who under different circumstances could have been, I'm not going to say an all-time like iconic player necessarily, but someone who made a much more positive impression, like an overall great impression, had things played out differently around her, and she was certainly someone that I had in mind. I don't think I would have described her as a slam dunk number one overall pick, but I had three people between whom I was choosing, and Francesca was one of them.
Okay, well, I imagine one of the others is coming off the board right now then.
Yes, indeed. Although let me actually quickly ask you a follow-up on Francesca. If it were to come to be that they have this all first boot season, first, I don't know that Francesca would be too interested in going out there and doing it, but if she did go out there and do it, and her team lost the first immunity challenge, do you think they would have it in them to make her the first boot for a third time?
100%, yes.
I think it is absolutely a possibility, and that's probably a big piece of why she doesn't want to go back, is she's already been a meme first boot once the last time she returned to Survivor, and it would, I have to imagine, be a very tempting proposition for anyone on that tribe to do it to her a third time. At the same time, though, if anyone is going to be sympathetic to the woes of being a first boot on Survivor, it's probably a group of people who have all been first boots on Survivor. So her chances might be slight. Yeah.
Alternatively, they have seen how mercilessly Francesca has been ribbed by the fan base and so on, and how that became her reputation. Is she is that person who was the first boot back to back, the first boot twice. They don't want to be that themselves, right? They don't want to inflict that on someone else. And whereas with Francesca, it's already mostly priced in.
Okay. So with my first pick in the draft, the second overall pick in the draft, I'm going to take the counterexample that I teased a couple of minutes ago of why I feel pretty strongly that at least a few of these people had some brighter timelines at their disposal if circumstances had been a bit different for them. Dominic, I have always been a big fan of the Survivor asymmetry on San Juan del Sur, or perhaps perfect symmetry on San Juan del Sur, where Natalie Anderson is our eventual champion. Meanwhile, her twin sister Nadia is the first boot of the season, and I'm guessing if we had only ever seen them on The Amazing Race and Natalie had had a couple things break differently and been gone early herself as well, we would be sitting anytime we're talking about the 20s saying, oh yeah, they obviously had no chance in hell at ever being successful on Survivor. But we have seen things pretty much constantly break Natalie Anderson's way to an extreme degree. And in the same spirit, when we were drafting, I think it was some sort of like challenge beast draft that we did at some point in the last month or two, I took Natalie Anderson relatively early and then closed things out by taking Nadia Anderson, just employing the logic of these are identical twins. And I would have to imagine that whatever Natalie is bringing to the table, Nadia also could be capable of bringing to the table herself. So I'm going to take Nadia Anderson here with my first pick.
What if there is some curse involved, some deal with the devil where, you know, for as well as everything goes for Natalie, it has to go equally poorly for Nadia. And
it's like the Portrait of Dorian Gray. Am I roughly getting that story right?
I wish I could tell you, honestly. But yeah, I think Nadia, if you're not taking Francesca because she's off the board already, then yeah, Nadia is the obvious other pick as well. And yeah, that really, there is no more scientific question that I want answered of, like, is it just variance? Is this the ultimate example of how things can, you know, break your way one time around and then not break your way the other time? And if you switch Natalie and Nadia, is Nadia the winner of the season? Is Natalie the first boot who you're taking with your first pick here? I don't know, honestly. I have to imagine, you would think, even being identical twins, one of them is going to have a bit more, you know, social finesse than the other. But maybe that's Nadia, actually. And maybe Natalie just, you know, is going way above her station here. We don't know.
Well, like, what argument can you make that if Nadia had started on Hunapu, she wouldn't have, but like, she conclusively wouldn't have been as able to hit it off with the same people Natalie hit it off with? They seem remarkably similar.
If there's some argument that there's no free will, you know, it was predestined that one of the twins was going to win that season and the others were just playing for second.
I wish I was taking it to that level. I just mean, based on everything I've seen over several seasons of them on reality TV, not only are they obviously genetically very similar, if not identical. I'm sorry. Do twins have identical DNA? Unclear. But point is, personality-wise...
Well, it's really not unclear. There is a yes or no answer to that. It's just that neither of us actually knows it.
Unclear to me. But point being, personality-wise, I think it stands to reason that she would have gotten along swimmingly with Jeremy Collins and everyone else that Natalie ended up getting along with over the days at Hunapu there. So I have a very hard time ruling it out that Nadia would have crashed and burned if she had been on Hunapu instead.
Yeah, Nadia is someone who I think definitely would do it. You know, other
not ruling it out that she would have crashed and burned. She would have crashed and burned. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Nadia definitely would do it again, and Francesca definitely would not. But honestly, if we're taking that into consideration, which I know we aren't, you know, I don't know how many of these people would even say yes if they were to get the call. I mean, some of them, especially like the really old school ones, it's a totally blank slate for them at this point, and they've definitely moved past that point in their lives. But even the ones who, if they're being honest with themselves, still think about what could have been sometimes, I don't know how many of them want to dig up that trauma, I guess, for lack of a better word, again.
I am completely on board with that. I think there would be plenty who would decline a second chance at Survivor, although I do think a pretty reasonable number would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back over to you.
Okay, so I feel like those easy picks are off the board, although it sounds like you have another one queued up here. Let's see. This is one of those drafts, and I guess depressingly for what this draft is, where you actually really need to take the men highly because there just aren't that many to go around if you're trying to fill out your roster here. We're looking at 12 out of 40, it sounds like, and I guess when you...
So the numbers that I have run are there are 12 eligible men. So then we also have Johnny Fairplay and Vitas. And it's actually 39 people. It's the same kind of Sandra math where because Francesca has done it twice.
Maybe that also, like Sandra winning manifested that at some point someone would be the first boot, even though it turns out that person had not actually played Survivor even for the first time yet.
Yes, that is a very distinct possibility there. Are you going to take a man off the board here with the number 3 overall pick?
You know what? I think I am. Give me David Sampson, Colin.
Okay, David Sampson, number one man taken off the board, although, as Dom alluded to, there may be some tactical drafting along the way here just because there are fewer men from which to choose, from whom to choose. Heard it both ways. Why David Sampson?
Honestly, because for as much as Luzon is one of the weirdest tribes of all time, and it seemed like David was in a great spot until the game just flipped on him abruptly. It honestly seems like he is so wolfy and so, you know, he's going to sketch so many people out that he should be the first boot again on any given season. But, and I guess this is the whole point, you know, there are so many people like that that some of them have to, just statistically, have to go far in the game. And I think David Samson just torpedoing his way through a season would be kind of funny to watch.
I am very much with that. David was high on my board among the men, and probably pretty high overall, although not the number one man that I would have taken, and I think I will, with my next pick, take that guy off the board now. I think someone who would be great to see back, and I'm pretty confident, although I now say this, I now recognize I'm saying this, not having really heard him speak in pretty close to a decade at this point, but I think Zane Knight would be a real treat to see back on Survivor, and I believe it is the case that he has said, like in the Philippines reunion or whatever, that that would be something he would be open to. So give me Zane with the number four overall pick.
As I recall, wasn't he almost openly campaigning for it?
Yeah, I think that may be the case.
Well, he at least has the WIM, I suppose, the want it more to to get back and succeed on the season. Now I'm scanning the board looking for someone else who's good.
And let me just state for the record that the third person I had in mind as a consideration for the number one overall pick is still on the board for me.
Huh.
This was a tactical, I don't want just, you snatching up all of the high upside men pick.
You're just going to work them past me? But give me the highest upside man I've ever seen. Give me Chicken, who I believe his real name, Steve Morris, something like that. Damn!
Yours is much better than mine.
Yeah. Startling the cat. No,
yeah, I was going to say
Chicken... What is there to say about Chicken, honestly? I feel like the case for Chicken makes itself.
Yeah. Do you remember hearing Chicken say one way or the other if you would be interested in going back?
No. I think he was probably kind of over the whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe somewhere out there there's an interview with Chicken on the Survivor Oz feed or whatever. Maybe that's a Talking with T-Bird that needs to happen someday, but... And Talking with T-Chicken someday. All right. I would certainly be down, though. I think he would be a lot of fun, although I could see it being a situation where he may be one of the top contenders to be the first boot yet again, unfortunately.
Yeah, but if anyone gets to hold that that distinction, it really ought to be him.
Yes. Okay. So scanning the board, I don't think... I'm going to be so greedy as to let my other third person that I think is at least a worthwhile consideration for number one slip any further, because I could see them being at this point relatively high on your board, and I would be heartbroken not only to have my pick sniped, but furthermore, just to not have this person on my team. Maybe this is some recency bias, but I'm pretty confident.
Okay, yes.
I'm pretty confident this is a person who would be down to give it another shot out there. And maybe even if they weren't so down but found themselves out there anyway, that would be an even better scenario. Dominic, I will at this point be taking off the board Reem Daly, dude.
I really thought when you mentioned recency bias, you were going to be taking your real-life BFF Ronnie Bader, but maybe you can float him past me for another few rounds, we'll see. Reem, really just a no-brainer here, but was going to be joining someone's board very quickly here. Past that,
Reem, obviously a standout for me, but I will acknowledge that Reem is a person I am at least in part picking because I know she is very popular with the Survivor podcast listening audience, and I want the fans to like my team more.
Yeah, I'm going to take
the Reem team.
Jalanda Jones.
Sorry.
What's that?
Talked over that, but make your pick again. Sorry.
Well, for the second time, and I guess they're no longer a first boot then, give me Jalanda Jones from Palau, who has gone on to, you know, big and better things in real life. Definitely some kind of political office, if my memory serves me right. Maybe just at the local or state level. But that kind of person who in real life is like a real high flyer, really driven and prides themselves on being super driven, and you know all of the kind of corporate buzzwords that might come with that. But who they get out on Survivor and they go out first. that has to leave them with a real hunger to come back and succeed. And I think she would be great to watch, not only because maybe she really would do it this time, but she would really give it her all there and bring the passion that I think my squad needs at this point.
I love the pick. I was very much holding out hope that I could snipe her in one of the later rounds and that you were not putting the respect on that name and on Palau that it absolutely deserves. So job well done there. With my next pick, I think I am going to go potentially an unexpected direction, but I feel pretty good about this, and I now feel increasingly nervous that you're going to snipe more of my people that I have kind of in my sleeper box here that I'm hoping that I had been hoping to snatch up in the later rounds. So I, at this point, will be taking Darnell, King Darnell, if memory serves. He seemed like someone who, frankly, just ran really bad out there with the people in his tribe and was, a huge fan of the show. And I think, at least potentially eager to go back. I think in the scenario where he got a second chance, he would bring it super hard. So I am going to go for Darnell Hamilton, I believe is his last name now, finally coming to my memory, and feel very good about that pick.
Yeah, definitely a great addition to the squad here. And you know what? I'm going to take him. Give me your boy, Ronnie Bada, who I think on top of his, you know, many personal qualities that are going to make him fun to watch on the season, just watching him forced to go against his close, best personal, real life best friend, you know, on the other side, that personal anguish is really going to add some complexity and character development to my season.
Yes, absolutely. And Ronnie is definitely someone who I believe would be pretty eager to get another shot out there. And as Dom has alluded to multiple times, Ronnie is someone I have very briefly interacted with in real life, and long before he knew that I was someone who has a Survivor podcast that could talk negatively about him to a potentially interested audience. He was the nicest guy, one of the nicest guys that I've ever met, just like at a poker table. And so I would feel very good about Ronnie's chances if he were back out there, relative to at least most of the other people in this pool. So
that has to be just a constant terror for any Survivor alumni going about the day, that they meet someone who seems very normal and very nice, and then they're just making polite conversation, and it comes up that they have a Survivor podcast, and you just want to run for the hills, but you got to maintain the facade, you know, until you can make an early exit.
What I mean is, I met Ronnie as his season was airing, and I think it was like only a week or two after his boot episode aired, and I was at Encore in Boston and got put at his table, and after a little while I mentioned to him, oh, I'm a big Survivor fan, sorry to see it break that way for you, and he was very eager to talk about Survivor and really nice guy the whole time. So I do feel, again, good about Ronnie wanting to be back out there and doing well if possible. But yes, I absolutely understand, Dom, that this is probably not a major concern for most people when they are just out and about. Regardless, back over to me now. My master plan to outlevel you into letting Ronnie fall yet again did not work. Although, again, no regrets whatsoever about any of my picks up until this point. Although, I'm now honestly struggling to figure out who is standing out from the rest of the pack here.
Interesting problem to have. It's maybe like this season was kind of okay. Doomed from the outset.
So let me, now that we are this far into the draft, do you feel more strongly, less strongly, that this would not be a compelling idea for a season?
I think, okay. My take is, if we did this with any other cross section of the Survivor boot list, you know, second boots, third boots, whatever, I think for the vast majority of them, it would be easier at this stage, you know, just about halfway through, to actually not have to rack your brains this hard to find compelling people.
Okay, so actually, I do know what I'm going to do here. The reason that I was even The reason that I guess the idea of a first boot oriented podcast crossed my mind is I was listening to the RHAP coverage with Taryn and Matt and Mari, the most recent episode at the time of this recording, talking through Survivor Cook Islands and just thinking back on Siku Bunch, I think is his last name, Siku from Survivor. What?
No, he was on my board up next. I guess I should have factored in the recency bias of RHAP just having released an episode where there would actually be something to remember about that person now, where, you know, if they had just done Survivor Vanuatu, for example, I don't know if Brooke would be on the board. So maybe it is Seiku actually making a good case for himself here, but sad to see him go.
Yes, remembering how much fun he was in his one episode and thinking back on the song that he did at the reunion show, I would imagine Siku would be someone at least open to the idea of playing again if given that opportunity. So yeah, very happy to finally remember that Siku was someone I was targeting here relatively early in the draft. So welcome aboard Siku, sorry if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly there. Dom, it is back over to you.
Honestly, he should do what Sia does and just gatecrash the reunion, right? Just he just strolls on stage with his you know, his saxophone or whatever, and just lets rip.
But, donate that sweet first boot money to his favorite contestant.
Hell yeah, probably the first boot, you know, just out of solidarity. If they're even on the stage, which, you know, never a guarantee these days. But let's see, who else can we get off the board here? Give me... This gender balance is really just cramping my style here. I guess give me Pat Cusack, because I vaguely remember him, and I know that he's... I don't know that he's not a terrible person. You can never say that with any certainty, but I don't have confirmation of him being a terrible person the way I do with, you know, some of the first beats on this list.
Oh, who do we have confirmation on being a terrible person, Dom? I don't know that...
Well, I wouldn't want to scare you away from having them on your tribe, you know?
Yeah, I guess you'll just break
terrible
my heart.
Terrible strategic decision, yeah.
Yeah, whenever I select them, I'll find out. But, yeah, the totally reasonable pick as far as I'm concerned. I think it is the case that Pat would be open to playing again. I would be interested in seeing him play again and hopefully make it through the early phases in a less unfortunate way than he did his first time around. Certainly someone I would guess would be out there feeling like he had plenty of unfinished business. I believe it is the case that he's a big fan of the show. So, Pat, I think an excellent pick there at this point. I think I'm going to go for someone that I actually feel like I could have seen you making an edgelord case for even earlier than this. While it does stand out to me that many of these folks, at least as far as the TV episode presented them, were probably more inclined than the average Survivor contestant to rub a lot of people on their tribe the wrong way, someone that I don't know necessarily at least falls into that category and seemed to be the first boot because she rubbed one particular person the wrong way. But I'm not going to let being disliked by Russell Hantz count as a point against pretty much anyone. Give me Marisa from Samoa. I don't know if she watches, cares about Survivor at all these days, but of this group, I feel maybe better about Marisa not being annoying than I do about pretty much anyone else. It really did seem like she said one wrong thing to Russell, and that was basically why he rallied all the votes against her early on in Samoa. But I am not necessarily taking it for granted that Marisa is someone who would even necessarily struggle socially in general on Survivor. And I think that's a distinct characteristic among this group of folks.
So are the two teams that we're drafting, are these the starting tribes? Is this how the season is coming together?
Yes, it is Tribe Dom against Tribe Colin.
Okay. All I'm saying is I could see her and David Sampson having a kind of a, you know, clash of the wills, which might not end well for either one of them. But I guess she is safely ensconced over on Team Colin, along with, you know, various other luminaries.
Yes. Tribe Colin. Thank you very much. So Marisa off the board. Back over to you.
So part of me wants to pick Deb, even though I think she would have told you at one point that her life was ruined by Survivor, so don't know if I want to put her through that again. Let's see who
else. For the record, I had a very similar thought. I think she would, in theory, be entertaining to see back on Survivor, but because of everything that she had to go through during Australia, she was not someone I was even considering drafting. She is, for my money, maybe the hardest 0% to want to go back on Survivor out of this whole group.
Well, let's go one better then. Give me Sonia Christopher, the first and the best. Who?
Sure.
This is one of those cases where I guess BB was memorable to a degree, but like being the actual first boot in the history of Survivor carries so much more cachet than being like the third boot or the fourth boot or whatever instead. Yeah, that is where this is actually something you can hang your hat on.
I absolutely agree with that. I've always very much admired Sonia embracing that and cherishing her kind of legacy in Survivor history. Loved hearing her a few years ago on First One Out with Josh Wigler. So, yeah, absolutely a great pick there with Sonia Christopher. And still seems, I believe, to be at least semi-interested in Survivor. So I don't know that we would necessarily see her out there were this season to come to pass, but for this hypothetical, absolutely. A no-brainer pick somewhere along the way. So job well done with Sonia this late into the affair here. With my next pick, I think I am going to go tactically here. I feel a lot safer about being able to get some justifiable picks on the women's side of things a little bit later in the draft. So I am going to take, you know what? Let's go for Brooke from Survivor Vanuatu, who I don't remember much about during his one episode run on the show, but definitely do remember at the reunion, him more or less begging Jeff Probst for another shot at the game. I would not be surprised at all if Brooke is someone who has kept up with the entire run of Survivor over the years. So I'm going to, at least for the time being, call this one of my steals of the draft, as far as I'm concerned. I feel very good about taking Brooke here with whatever pick number, I guess, seventh round here. I feel very good about the value I'm getting here from Brooke.
I don't know if anything could surprise me with Brooke. I have no idea who he is. He is just like a formless avatar in my mind.
I don't even know that I would necessarily recognize Brooke if I mean, I certainly wouldn't recognize Brooke if I just passed him on the street or whatever. I would go, oh, yeah, wait, are you Brooke?
He's the steal of the draft. Couldn't pick him out of an hour, but that's okay. That's fine. You know, who could you not say that about?
Yeah, no issue whatsoever with that side of Brooke. Excited to meet him all over again whenever this fake season ends up happening. Dom, it is back on you, and hopefully by the time it has gotten back over there, your mic quality has improved, and I am optimistic that it will, and we don't need to hang up this call and change anything.
I'm sure I'm sounding beautiful and mellifluous as always, and this new and improved me is going to stick with the golden oldies here and take one Peter Harkey to round out the men on my cast.
Okay. Does that? Okay. I guess I absolutely miscounted. I did not. I thought I had slightly more pressure on me to pick a man here. So Peter now coming off the board. Yeah. Great. An all-time great Boston accent there for you. And someone I could also see being in that camp of, and don't mistake this for me saying I think Peter is some all-time phenomenal social player who was completely screwed over by the edit, but it wouldn't surprise me at least to find out that Peter isn't necessarily as obnoxious as he looked his entire time, which was about 40 minutes or so on Survivor Marquesas.
I am picking him because I want him to be that obnoxious this whole time. But we need some friction here to get the season running. Otherwise, you know, if somehow this season full of first boot, a real motley crew. If this ends up being the most harmonious season of all time, then we really have let the entire viewing public down.
Yeah, and you could absolutely be right about that. I mean, it is certainly well within the realm of possibility that Peter is that way more often than I am opening my mind to. But yeah, very sound pick there with Peter. And I feel like the fact that we're now 7.5 rounds deep into this and still pretty happy with the, to say the least, with the names that are coming off the board, I feel like the case is getting stronger that this first boot season may not be the worst idea in the world there, Dom. I now recognize that given that you have your entire roster filled out on the men's side, I can now wait and pick a man in the final round and prioritize the women here for my next couple of picks. So I'm going to do that. And with my next pick, let's go for, you know what? I'm going to do it. I am going to go for Maine's own Timbertina, the first Cerie casualty of that legendary career. And I'm not going to hold too much against pretty much anyone for getting outplayed by Cerie. I believe it is the case that Tina, in the first couple of days, brought a fish back to camp, which is not necessarily unparalleled, but for that era, I remember standing out, if not for the entire run of Survivor, standing out as a pretty remarkable feat there. So I am going to chalk a lot of that up to just being in a tough draw. When you're on a tribe with five people and Cerie Fields has it out for you, that's generally going to result in you having a bad time. So Timbertina, welcome to the squad.
Yeah, it sounded like she was, you know, going through a recent personal tragedy at the time she went on Survivor, and wouldn't say that Cerie, you know, exploited that necessarily, but it was clear that her head wasn't really in it. And you know, that made it easy for, you know, the mood to turn against her when they eventually had to vote someone out first, as, you know, the older women tribe was likely to have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So back over to you now, entering round 9. So getting down to it here.
So what would a season be without, you know, a contestant's ex-wife on the same tribe as them? Let's go Carolina Eastwood. I thought I could float her the entire way here, and very pleased to add her to my roster here. And her possible reconciliation, probable immolation with David on my team is going to be a joy to watch.
Sorry, David Sampson and Carolina Eastwood are exes?
Did you miss the glories of the Redemption Island finale?
David Sampson was on Survivor Kageyama. David Murphy.
Yes.
David Murphy is the Redemption Island.
Oh, God.
I was wondering what I was missing there. And this is the thing is, to this point, you would seem to know so much about Yolanda's political career and what Pat Cusack was like in real life that I was on the edge of my seat here dying to find out that Carolina had been married to Chicken or Ronnie or something like that. But yeah, that is, to quote Flight of the Conchords, what a hilarious misunderstanding, Dom. You pulled a Colin Stone there, if I've ever seen one.
I mean, I actually have more confidence in Carolina and David Sampson to end up feuding than I do in Carolina and David Murphy. So it's all going to work out in the end. Don't you worry.
Yes. I absolutely love that pick in the 9th round. I definitely do remember Stephen at some point saying, like, Carolina was one of those people who was going to be the first boot on any season she ever ended up playing. So I don't know how necessarily well this return appearance may end up going for her, but for as long as she does manage to stay out there, I am very confident in her ability to deliver from an entertainment perspective. So
the first time we spoke to him was very, you know, mostly very diplomatic about the people in his cast and, you know, wanting to keep things positive. And the one exception who he just didn't even bother to put in the effort for there was Carolina.
Yes. So back over to me. I have one more woman and one more man, which means I'm going to take another woman here since you cannot snipe me if I do that. Oh my God, I can't. It's so clear now to me that I can't believe this person. Wow. Oh man. You know what? I'm gonna say I have very
Oh,
much punted here because
just do it to me.
there are a couple, frankly, that I would still absolutely love to have on my squad here, and I'm gonna have to unfortunately let one of them go. Which one would I rather have it be? Oh man. So if sorry to the audience that I don't I will hopefully remember once Dom has made his final pick to reveal who the other person I was torn between was. I am going to go for let's go Stephanie Gonzalez from Survivor Ghost Island. And Dom, remind me to, if you don't take the other person I was torn between, to hopefully mention who that was, because that would be a very annoying kind of thing to just leave hanging. But I am certainly prone to forget to do so. I will take Gonzalez here, who, by all accounts, it seems like would not have been the first boot if Jacob Derwin were off on, were not off, excuse me, on Ghost Island there. Not necessarily saying that Gonzalez was robbed of a deep run in the game. But someone I think has plenty of brighter timelines, at least, than being the first boot, and who, at least as far as memory serves, and this is a memory that is not entirely lucid at this point, where I have not seen Ghost Island in quite some time, and I don't remember the Gonzalez run from what little I do remember of that season, but I have at least found myself thinking over the years that she was someone who certainly could have, provided many, many weeks worth of entertainment, and at least it's not impossible to me that she could prove to be a strong contender on a second opportunity there. So, rounding out the women on my team, I will take Stephanie Gonzalez.
I like the pick. Yeah. And I actually, well, I say I like the pick. I intended to pick Jacob Derwin coming into this draft because I had mentally concluded that he was actually the first boot, much to his, shame and disgrace. But turns out that was not the case. So I had to reevaluate on the fly there. So I got to pick someone to round this out. And you know what? You stole Sekou from me. You deprived me. You deprive my team of its musical talent, so I need to fix that. And so, with that in mind, give me Michelle Chase, the first boot of Survivor Gabon.
Okay, and remind me what her musical talent is.
I think it was mostly extracurricular. I don't think it was really featured on the show to any
Okay.
great degree.
Well, we'll leave it super cryptic and obscure then. Yeah, I think Michelle is a great pick. She is not the other person that I was in the tank on, and I will quickly now reveal that So Kim was someone I was strongly considering picking there, just because it did seem like that white collar tribe may not have necessarily been the best draw for her. But returning to Michelle, I definitely remember in the very, very early years of this podcast having Gordon Holmes on the show, and he was on location back when Gabon was filming, and he talked about always jinxing whoever his favorite was when he was out there. They would often be the first boot, and he would get to watch that play out in person. And Michelle was one such contestant for him, where he, I believe, if memory serves, was a big Michelle fan based on the first few days and getting to meet her in person and see her in action in real time, and then was like the inaugural person that he put the Gordon curse on, essentially. So yeah, Michelle, a strong candidate potentially for steal of the draft here in the final round. So let me quickly ask you, what did you was So Kim someone that crossed your mind at all?
I guess so, yeah. And it's almost like I'm drafting with a type in mind. And if I wanted someone who I think does seem, pretty cool, pretty just smart and with it, and actually kind of savvy and might have a shot if they were to come back under regular circumstances, that's not what I want. I want high drama, Colin, on my tribe. And the viewers will be salivating at any glimpse of Team Dom, whereas it's a real snooze fest when we have to head back over to Team Colin.
I remember the two of us were at an event where So Kim was there, and we were watching on a TV that she was sitting like directly under, and I had to like nudge you at some point and be like, "Dom, that's someone. Who is that? Who am I recognizing right now? And it was so Kim. And I now further remember that it was the Game Changers premiere and being very eager to see So Kim's reaction when Malcolm came on the screen, which was, for the record, like going onto her phone for a little bit. But maybe shouldn't have thrown that out there on a main feed episode, but whatever. I hope So Kim is doing well, and she was someone I was strongly considering with my final selection there, but certainly a fan of the Michelle pick. Let me go on one other quick tangent while I'm in the tank on the last pick for my squad here, because a thought crossed my mind when you brought up Jacob Derwin, and we've talked a bit about just kind of hypothetical alternate timelines here. I'm not trying to say that I think it is overwhelmingly likely that this could have gone the opposite direction for Jacob, but I do think in the case of John Cochran, you know, he did well, I think, to make it as far as he did with that Savaii team, despite not really feeling like he fit in for most of that time on South Pacific. But then we saw him come back on Karamoan, play, for my money, one of the most kind of dominant winning games Survivor has ever seen. And still, it seems like despite more or less, at least for a time, being kind of Charlie Bucket to Jeff Probst's Willy Wonka, where he more or less gets like the keys to the factory at the end of his Survivor run, it still seems like Cochran is not all that elated about his overall Survivor experience. And I don't mean to suggest at all that he is unhappy with how things have ultimately played out, but it really stood out to me that, like, Cochran, I have to imagine, declined the opportunity to be on Winners at War, and that it seemed like very few even considered that an option. And I do wonder if Savaii had played out for him the same way that Ghost Island played out for Jacob Derwin, where, like, if Cochran is this at least non-ecstatic about what I would have to consider by far the best case scenario for his Survivor career, if that had gone the opposite direction his first time, it's crazy to think about, like, how depressed he would probably be.
Yeah, I hope he gave you know, Jim Rice's cut or whatever, because you know, barring Jim just kind of, you know, really wanting to make some fancy plays or whatever, yeah, I think Cochran's whole kind of life trajectory even might look very different.
And sorry if that's like a weird thing to bring up, and I definitely will flag up. And this was also coming up on a decade ago at this point, but to this day, Cochran absolutely stands out in my mind as one of the most fun interviews we've ever done, and one of my favorite people to just hear talk about Survivor in general, in the rare capacity where we get to hear that these days. But in case it's unclear, I'm an enormous Cochran fan. It just, I think he would probably acknowledge that if things had played out worse for him, it would have been completely devastating, the same way that it seems like it may be for Jacob Derwin these days. But so, extraordinarily awkward tangents aside, I will now close out this draft with my final pick. I guess I'm picking a man at this point, and in looking at some of these names that are still left on the board, I'm feeling pretty good about the overall prospect of a hypothetical first boot season if they were able to get enough people back. And I would imagine, just for the record, that if they did a first boot season, they probably would not restrict themselves from those who were first boots as returnees. And that would, I'm sure, add a lot of spice to this mix, a lot of sugar and spice potentially to this mix here, Dom. But with my final pick, I'll be honest, and I guess now I can talk openly about the options on the table for me here, because you have no further picks to make. I am looking at, left on the board here, among the men, John Raymond from Thailand, Ryan Aiken from Amazon, and Jim Lynch from Guatemala. I know I am not picking Jim, but I am kind of torn between, I'm torn like Jim's biceps between John Raymond and Ryan Aiken. I think they both bring potentially quite a bit to the table here.
Well, let's hear it. What do they bring to the table?
That's way out
the pros and cons.
They are both the type to be interested in playing hard, potentially, if given a second chance. It seemed like they just kind of got in their own way their first times around. I guess, you know what? Give me Ryan Aiken here to round out my team. Just the tiebreaker being that seems like a far more realistic person to be invited back and to say yes to coming back at this point, even though that really doesn't matter for the hypotheticals that we have laid out for ourselves here.
Nobody who is the, 20th pick in a first boot returnee draft and who played 18 years ago is remotely close to crossing that line. So we don't need to worry about that. Right? They are all together in that sense.
Yes. Regardless, I feel like Ryan was at least certainly out there trying to play during his 3 days on Amazon. He and Dan Liu were hoping to be part of a majority alliance that they were working on, and the dynamics just broke such that it didn't end up going their way, and they did a really bad job on the balance beam, or what I'm guessing it was beyond the balance beam that went into Ryan being the first boot on this season. But absolutely, at the very least, someone I could easily talk myself into getting excited about seeing again if I were to find out that they were doing a first boot season and Ryan was on it. So there are our 20 picks in this draft. To quickly roll back through them, we have on Tribe Dom here, Team Dom, whatever you want to call it, Francesca, David Sampson, of course, ex-husband of Carolina, Chicken, Yolanda, Ronnie Barda, Pat, Sonia, Peter, Carolina herself, whose interactions with David Sampson will surely be awkward, and then Michelle from Gabon. On my team / tribe, we have Nadia Anderson, Zane, Reem, Darnell, Sekou, Marisa, Brooke, Tina, Gonzalez, and Ryan Aiken. And rolling through these names, Dom, I am finalizing my stance that this is a season I would absolutely watch.
Okay.
It sounds like you're not. It sounds like you're still unconvinced.
Look, I'll take what I can get, and it's Survivor, so I'm going to watch it, however much I might grumble about, you know, the state of things nowadays and how it was so much better back in my day. I'm going to watch it, but why are we doing this?
We're not necessarily doing it, but if I found out that we were doing it, I could easily talk myself into it, and that's basically the criteria for me at this point. And actually, let's close out here, Dom. Having now wrapped up our hypothetical first boot, second chance draft, let me quickly get your take on some news that has broken relatively recently. We saw the logo for the first time earlier today, actually. Survivor 41 will just be Survivor 41. This is something that we have brought up many times over the years at this point, longing for a time to come where they're willing to just drop the themes that it seems like have, for the most part, at least for my money, done more harm than good as far as making Survivor interesting over these last few years. We have openly pleaded for them to just start numbering it the same way, like the Super Bowl is just Super Bowl 54, Super Bowl 55. Survivor, I think and hope, and we'll find out now, apparently, can easily get away with doing that same thing. We do not need these contrived themes. What did you think when you saw that Survivor 41 is just Survivor 41?
I like it. I think just embrace the fact that, look, if you could come up with good themes and names for a season, go for it. But at some point, you have to be honest with yourselves and with the audience and acknowledge that that's not the case. I hope this means they won't be phoning in the actual like logos or graphics, which it sounds like they might be based on early speculation. But
did you know? We literally saw the graphic today.
Oh, how is it?
Well, we apparently did not see the graphic today. I saw it. It has been met with mixed reviews, but all I really care about is seeing that big 41 in the middle. That makes me extremely happy, and I will gladly trade a less than stellar graphic for a season without a ridiculous theme 100 times out of 100.
I'm now imagining just gigantic numbers 41 and then Survivor just in tiny font, you know, nestled at the background somewhere.
It is an interesting graphic. It appears someone underwater holding a torch out from underneath that water, and then some like thunder or light, I guess thunder probably pretty tough to depict, but at least some lightning on the sides and some ominous clouds. So we will see what becomes of all of that, if that even means anything. But Dom, anything else you wanted to get to today?
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, I will, of course, quickly remind the people that we are doing bonus episodes every Saturday, other than this last Saturday, but every other Saturday leading up to this point. We have been doing bonus episodes over on the Patreon feed at patreon.com/DomandColin. Most recently did a potentially fun, at least as things stand right now, probably not going to age super well, but that's kind of the point, draft of the Survivor 41 cast, just based exclusively on their photos, which we readily acknowledge there is virtually no chance that much of that commentary ends up aging well. I'm sure that will be at least potentially hilarious to re-listen to down the line, but for anyone interested in that sort of thing and the many other events that we've got going on every week over on the Patreon feed, one more time, patreon.com/DomandColin. All right, he is, of course, on Twitter at DomHRV. I am at Colin Stone. We will talk to you guys next week. And incidentally, perhaps back soon with some Survivor South Africa coverage now that that has kicked off. I can't commit to rewatching all of the episodes, but I'm certainly very open to talking about that in at least some loose detail. I have been at least enjoying that through the first episode. Dom, did you watch the first episode yet?
I did, and I, again, if you force me to come in here and talk about it right now, not sure how good I'd be on the details, but I definitely enjoyed the overall vibe, looking forward to seeing how the rest of it plays out, and fingers crossed for a good season to, I'm not going to say to tide us over until US Survivor returns, implying that that's like the main event and this is all just the preamble, but excited to have that back in our lives for now.
Yeah, I am slightly nervous that we are eating the entree before the appetizer here with Survivor SA coming before the next season of US Survivor, but at least potentially be on the lookout for some casual coverage of that relatively soon. Until then, we will talk to you guys next Wednesday. Take care, everybody.